Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
The Gospel of John this morning, and I want to look at some familiar verses to you and give you a little thought out of here this morning, and I'll try not to be long at all, and then we'll make our way down to the river and have a time of fellowship this afternoon. Amen. The Gospel of John, we've got several families that's traveling on vacation. Pray for them, and pray that the Lord give them traveling grace. Amen. John chapter number 14. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I want to read a few verses to you, and then I'm going to go back, pray, let you be seated, and then I'm going to go back into chapter number 13 bring you into where we're at in chapter number 14. The Bible said this: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, for several weeks, we've been looking at some "there's" in the Bible. We find another one right here in verse number 13. He says this: "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Then in the latter portion, "that where I am, there you may be also." There you may be also. Of course, we looked at a "there" in Elijah's life in the very beginning. And then last Sunday, we looked at the "there" of Calvary. But today I want to look at the "there" of heaven. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am," where is "I am"? He said, "where I am," where is that at? That is heaven. He is making reference to heaven. And he says, "where I am, there," which is heaven, "there you may be also." Father, I love you this morning, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. I pray, God, that you'd give us liberty as we preach. God, help us to recall the things, Lord, that we've studied. I pray, God, that we get understanding from your word. We'll be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. He starts out in verse number 1 of chapter 14 with this: "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. I looked that word "troubled" up, and here's what it means. It means agitated. It means shaken, stressed out, worried, or even restless. And what he is saying to him is there's no need, he's saying to the disciples, there's no need to be stressed out. There's no need to be worried. I started another book, which I've read it several times, but here over the past week or so, I've been listening to it again, and it's a book about anxiety and dealing with people that has anxiety and how to deal with anxiety. In the introduction of that book, the writer begins to talk about America. And here's what he said. He done the research on this, and here's what he said. He said America was the most anxious country in the world. Said America was the most depressed country in the world. Said America, the American people, deals with anxiety and depression more than any other country in the whole wide world. You know what? I began to think about that. America is the most blessed country in the whole wide world. Why in the world is America a depressed nation? And why in the world is America a nation that is dealing with anxiety? You know what? Let us just be honest. Don't nobody lock down on me while I'm preaching this morning. Stay with me. Let's be honest. 20 years ago, I hardly ever heard the word anxiety. You didn't hear it, man. I remember going through high school and even going through elementary school, and it's not been that long ago. I don't care what some of you young people think. It has not been that long ago, all right? You didn't hear of a kid having panic attacks. I never heard of that. I'm telling you, I never did. And you never heard of anxiety when I was going through school. We heard of ADD, but you know the way that they fixed it? They took us to the principal's office. And they had this thing called a paddle in a principal's office. And whenever it didn't work the way it should, and whether or not it did work the way it should, when you got home, if you lived in a home like I lived in, then Daddy was going to get you and Mama was going to get you too when you got home. And it corrected a lot of those things. Now I'm going to take it a step further. There is a such thing as ADD, ADHD. There is a such thing as autism. And I want you to, I'm going to say this and I'm going to keep moving. I don't care what James Locke says, that is not demon possession. Yes, I called his name out because he's a heretic. That's what he is. And those that are beginning to follow him, it's going to be the same. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. Go watch Spencer Smith's latest video on him. Amen. James Locke says that it's nothing more than a demon, and he can cast that out of your child. He's full of the devil is what he is. Anyway, I'm going to keep moving right there. I understand that there is those things. But a lot of times in society today, anxiety is simply this. It is fear of the unknown. That's what it is. It's a fear of the unknown. I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. The reason, the very first time that I ever read a book on anxiety, the reason I read it is because they told me that I had it. I told them they was crazy. I'll never forget, we was on an airplane. There's been two men that shut down Charlotte Airport back to back, probably in the history of its whole existence. And there was me and Jonathan Bass. Within 30 minutes of each other, we shut down the airport. I'll never forget, we was on an airplane and we was flying to South Dakota. And whenever we got out to the, I don't know what happened. The devil got in me, I guess. I'll never forget, Miss Vicki, we got out to the runway. And whenever we got out to the runway, Miss Shannon, I thought I was going to die. We was sitting there on that runway. Now, I can laugh about it, okay? So if I can laugh about it, yeah, it's okay for you to laugh at me right now, okay? Because I promise you, I laugh about it all the time. Remington, we got out on that runway. And they turned and was starting to, and right before they made that turn, Brother Brian, to get out on the runway, I thought, man, I'm going to die. And I looked over at the man beside of me and I said, you know what, dude? And he said, what? I was sitting in that front seat right behind first class, so it was a wall, like right there. And this dude over here needed both seats, and this dude over here needed both seats, and I was in the middle and there was a wall right here. I got an excuse, okay? There was a wall right here. And I'll never forget, I was sitting there, and I thought, this is it. We're going to wreck. They're going to kill me. If the wreck don't kill me, it's over, man. I got my phone out, turned my phone back on. I started texting Leslie. I said, I love you. If I never make it back, it's okay to laugh. I'm laughing. That's truth, is it not? I texted Madeline. I texted Olivia. Victoria had a little iPad. I texted her on that iPad. Hannah, I thought the world was coming to an end. They pulled out. They got on the runway. I told that man, I said, I'm going to have a heart attack and die. He said, well, you ought to say something about it. You know what? If an airplane pulls out onto the runway, the motors are revving up, you unbuckle your seatbelt, jump out in the middle of the aisle and go, I'm having a heart attack, they'll stop. You say, hey, you know, I did it. They stopped. There was this guy, there was the stewardess. I'm not being ugly, I'm just being honest. He said, sir, you can't be standing here in the aisle like this. We're fixing to take off. I said, you ain't taking off with me, hoss. I'm having a heart attack. He said, you need to breathe. I said, I can't breathe. There's an elephant on my chest. He run to the cockpit. He run back out. He got on the... Jonathan Bass will tell you this. He got on the... Jonathan Bass won't tell you this because he was asleep while all this was going on and didn't realize it. I'll get to that part in just a minute. He got on that thing and he said, I'm sorry, but we've had to delay the flight. Is there any medical professionals on here? This dude comes walking to the front. They've got me sitting up there next to where that door goes into the pilots now. I was beyond first class. This dude comes walking up there. They got one of them things that drops out of the you know, one of them duck faces is on my... This is the truth, I'm telling you. On me. I'm talking about be not troubled. It's on my mouth here. Talking about trusting Jesus in hard times. This dude comes walking to the front. He says, I'm a doctor. He said, okay, see if you can talk to him. And I was like, man, where's your credentials at? I got a doctorate too, but it's in the Bible. It ain't in that elephant sitting on my chest. I guess if I'd have read my Bible, I wouldn't have been in trouble and that elephant wouldn't have been on my chest. But anyway, he put two or three things on my fingers, Brother Brian, and he pulled his phone out. And he's looking on that phone. And this is the gospel I've ever told it. He looked up at the guy that was standing there and told me that I couldn't be standing in the middle of the aisle, but I was. We're still sitting on the runway. We ain't moved. The motors ain't revving up. And this is what he said. He looked at him. He said, do you have an AED? When he said that, Esther, I'm coming home. It's a big one, Lamont. Tell Grady I love him. I thought it was over. They turned that thing around. They pulled back up to the gate. They wouldn't let me walk off. The paramedics come on there and put me in something and got me out and then put me on a stretcher and rolled me out. As soon as I got out of that airplane and got back out, I was fine. And I thought, oh, no. All them times you made fun of people acting like this, you just acted like that. I told them when I started off the airplane, I said, there's a guy sitting behind me. We shut her down twice. There's a guy sitting behind me that's bald-headed, that's got them things in his ears. I got his tickets. He can't go nowhere when he gets off this flight unless I'm with him. You need to get him and bring him off. Paramedics talked to me. I said, where's that piece of paper at? And they said, what piece of paper? I said, that piece of paper you signed so I can get off this stretcher because I know how all this works. I'm okay. I had a panic attack, I guess. And they said, well, you need to go to the... I said, look, we ain't going down that road. I know all about this. Give me that piece of paper. They hand me that piece. I signed it. I got up off a stretcher and I looked. This is the truth. The airplane's going off to the runway. And I thought, oh, big JB's on that airplane going to Chicago. And I don't know what he's going to do. Well, I started laughing then. It wasn't bothering me because I was off that plane. He gets out to the runway. It stops. It turns around. Here it comes back. It pulls back up to the gate. The door opens up, and here comes Big John. Man, they said it's a medical emergency, and that's the reason we's delayed. And I thought, well, I hope they're all right. And I leaned up to talk to you, and you was the medical emergency and was gone. Now, we can sit here and we can laugh about that thing today. But I'm going to tell you something. At that very moment, you know, don't you? Josh said, yes, she does. I thought I was going to die. Why is the disciples? Let's just back up 3.5 years from chapter 14. They've walked with Jesus. I was walking with Jonathan Bass. I got an excuse, okay? They've been walking with Jesus. They've heard him pray. They've stayed in the same Airbnb that Jesus has. Are you with me? They've been on vacation with Jesus if he ever took one. There was a time that he come apart. And you better learn to come apart before you come apart. They've listened to Jesus preach. They've been backstage where Jesus was preaching at. and watched the people walk up to him that was sick of the palsy and him heal them. They've stood and watched chapter number 11 as Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Why are they troubled? When I read this again this week, why are they troubled? He says, let not your heart be troubled. For 3.5 years, they've watched the Gadarene maniac have demons cast out of him. Are you with me? They've been in the storm of their life and thought the boat was going under because it was full of water and saw Jesus say, peace be still and everything be all right. They've watched him and Peter in the midst of that storm walk on the water. Why are they troubled? Chapter 13, Jesus starts out. So important to study your Bible in context. Chapter 13, Jesus starts out by washing their feet. It's not an ordinance of the church. Baptism and the Lord's Supper is the ordinances of the church. A lot of churches practice foot washing, and that's fine. If you want to, I practice it daily. Understand what I'm saying? A lot of church, and I'm not against a church that, I'm not preaching against that. That's between that pastor. I've been a part of one foot washing in my life at a church. I was preaching at a black primitive Baptist church for Ronnie Hooser, and they had a foot washing. And when Ronnie Hooser, that's another story within itself, is it not? When Ronnie Hooser looks at you, if you know Ronnie Hooser, and says, can I wash your feet? You say, yes, sir. He's washed their feet, and we get into chapter 13. As we roll on into chapter 13, they've walked with him. As we're rolling into chapter 13, he looks at him and he says, one of y'all are fixing to betray me. One of y'all are fixing to sell me out. And because of you selling me out, I'm going to be crucified. As we roll on into the closing of chapter 13, he addresses Peter. And he tells Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to deny me. Before the sun comes up, 3 different times you're going to deny me. And we know that Peter does that. Peter ends up cursing and saying that he don't know the Lord. Some commentators feel that chapter 14 and chapter 13 really should just run parallel together. Whether they should or whether they shouldn't, in all honesty, they do because it follows chapter 13. Some think that Jesus continues right after he says that with Peter in chapter 13. Some think that there's a break in time between verse 38 of chapter 13 and chapter 14, verse number 1. Personally, when I've read it numerous times, I believe that there's a good possibility that there's a break of time, a short break of time between the closing of chapter 13 and the beginning of chapter 14. Not everything is recorded in the Bible. Not everything is recorded in the Bible that happens. You with me? Pages couldn't contain it. The Bible even says that. So there's a good chance that the disciples has got to their self and they've begun to talk. Is it you? Are you the one that's going to deny Christ? Is it you? No, I bet it's him. No, it's him. Well, he just said Peter was going to deny him and cuss him. I wonder if it's Peter that's going to sell him out. And all of a sudden, this person that for 3.5 years they've walked with, they've talked with, they've lived with, they've watched every move of his life, they've saw him do great miracles, says, I'm going to die. Now, that's why their heart is troubled. Their best friend is leaving. Their best friend is going away. So Jesus starts out in chapter number 14. Maybe he gathers them all back up together. And he says, look, let me say a little more to you. Peter, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be stressed. Don't let your heart be overwhelmed. Don't let Can I give you our term for it? Don't let anxiety overtake your life. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Then he goes on to tell them why. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. I think he's making a statement to them. You believe in God. Look what he says. You believe in God. He's not asking them, do you believe in God? He's saying, you've saw the miracles of God. You believe in God. There's not a person sitting in here today. I don't even know that I'm going to get to the message. There's not a person sitting in here today that would say, I don't believe in God. You believe there's a God. You believe in God. You believe in God. Here's what he says. Believe also in me. He said, if you're going to believe God, you got to believe me. Then he goes on to say this. Watch verse number 2. In my Father's house. What is that? Heaven. Our many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So evidently, he's already talked to him about heaven. And then he says this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. Now, watch this. I'm going to follow the Lord right here. I'm just going to trash my outline and follow the Lord right here in the next 4 or 5 minutes and we'll be done. There. So Jesus gives them a promise. I'm going to, there's a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you, if you want an outline. There is a prepared place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. There is a personal place for you. It's personal. He said, I'm building you something. When somebody builds something specifically for you, it's special. Would you not agree with me? You see this? Anybody know what that is? It's a duck call. That's what that is. But it's not just any old duck call. Don't have a clue how to blow it. Does that sound like a duck to you? I don't know. But I know one thing. When Stephanie was on staff, she could be sitting at her desk, and I could be across the hall at my desk, and I could go, and she'd scream every time. Grandest thing. I could sneak down the hall. I got so many videos of Stephanie jumping out of her skin. It's wonderful. You can be sitting in your office and people be sitting in there talking and you slide over to the side and go, and they'll jump every time. It's not just any duck call. I got a good friend by the name of Bradley Washburn. He knows how to make this sound like a duck. I got a good friend named Bradley Washburn. Bradley turned that, he made that and gave it to me. He's prepared a bunch of them, and I'm sure he sold a bunch of them, but that one was prepared personally for me. I wouldn't take $1 million for that today. It sits on the shelf in my office all the time, and I pray for Brother Bradley every time I look at it. It's special to me because it was prepared from his hands for me personally. Jesus said, boys, don't be troubled. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's prepared. It's personal. It's personal. I have a personal place prepared for me in heaven. But then watch this. There's the promise up there. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, heaven, there, heaven, you may be also. So we've got a promise today of heaven. You may say, well, preacher, I've got a promise of heaven today. But how does that help me today? You got your Bible open? Will you come start playing soft? You got your Bible open? For the sake of time, skip to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Boy, we could preach a long time right there, Brother Josh. It's just not 10 of them. There's a whole lot more than 10 in the Word of God. Then he says this, and I will pray the Father, that's God, Jesus is praying to him, and he shall give you another, watch this, comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Look in verse 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Did you see that? It's where we just started at, was it not? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, look, boys, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I've lost some close friends down through the years, and man, that's hard. Jesus is leaving. Okay? It's a little bit different, man. And he says, he starts out, don't be anxious about this thing. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Me personally, I'm leaving to go build something for you. That's shouting grounds. I'm telling you, it's shouting grounds. He's preparing me a place right now in heaven. Amen. And I'm going to come back. I'm going to get you and I'm going to take you back with me. Maybe one of the disciples says, but Lord, what are we going to do until then? Look, every one of us sitting here that's saved knows we've got heaven to look forward to. But what are we going to do until then? Jesus says, well, just hold on. Don't get all wound up. I got an answer for that too. When I leave, and he did, 40 days after crucifixion, 42, 43 days from this, he leaves and he goes back into the heavens. But he says, I'm going to send a comforter unto you, which is the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you the reason that I don't have to live a troubled life. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Anxiety is fear. Anxiety is what if. They're saying, what if, Lord? What are we going to do, Lord? You're leaving, Lord. What are we going to do? Tomorrow hadn't even got there. The crucifixion hadn't even got there. Brother Josh, they was already anxious about it. He said, listen, boys, just calm down. There ain't no need to be troubled about this thing. Because when I do leave, I'm making you a promise. Not that I'm coming back to get you, not just that. But that is a great promise. It's a great promise to know that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. It's a great promise to know that I don't have to go to hell. It's a great promise to know that I'm going to heaven one day. But until I get there, guess what? I've got a paraclete. That's what that word means right there. I've got a helper. He's saying, since I can't be here, I'm going to send a paraclete, someone just like me, and they're going to help you. So when troubled times come in our life, you know what we must do? You know what we must do? We must run to our paraclete. We must run to our helper, our comforter, the Holy Spirit. I don't have to live a life worrying about the unknown. I can live a life in fellowship with the Holy Spirit and allow Him to take care of the unknown. Because when I get to the unknown, He's going to be there waiting on me to help me through the unknown. There, yeah, we've got heaven to look forward to, and I was really going to preach on heaven. I was going to go to chapter 19, chapter 20. I was going to preach on heaven of Revelation. The Lord just wouldn't let me. Matter of fact, I didn't even have no intentions of going on in chapter 14 to that comforter. But he closed it out. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. So, preacher, you don't know what I'm faced with. Don't be troubled. We'll trust the Holy Spirit in this thing. I'm preaching to me, okay? Ain't nobody else getting anything. We'll trust Him. Where God guides, God provides. If it's the will of God, God will make a way. God will make a way. Amen. Father.